Let's listen to more of Dombrowski, the press conference 2 days ago. This clip, I thought, really spoke to his mindset. Here's Dave Dombrowski.
I'm going to ask you to simplify something that I know you're not going to want to simplify. But when you were mentioning to Todd the number of stars you have in the clubhouse, the starting rotation, the all-stars on this year's roster, when you look at a team where their expectation was the World Series and you have all of those raw materials, mm-hmm. what is the final missing piece, you think, to putting them over the edge in the postseason and finally getting that World Series, whether it's health or a player? What is the missing piece you felt like for this year's team?
Well, I don't think that that's the, to me, the answer is not the missing piece. The answer is playing well at the right time. And so when you say that, I've always felt you go out there with four good starting pitchers, right? Well, we have four good starting pitchers. You go out there with a good bullpen. Our bullpen didn't pitch well. It just didn't. I mean, that's the way it is. But I really thought going into the postseason, and it's an incorrect judgment by me and by a lot of us, that we thought our bullpen would be, that's what you're looking to do. We didn't score enough runs. We just did not. I mean, we scored runs in one game. We did not score runs in three games. And so you go back in the past years, there's some games we scored runs, and there's other games we didn't. But you really have to play well at the right time.
All right, I love having Ruben here to break this down. Because, Ruben, I agree totally with Dombrowski, and I know a lot of people listening don't. Now, let me just ask you this question. Two of your teams, one you're an assistant GM, one you're the GM. 2008 Phillies win the World Series. I'm just going to pick one of them. 11 doesn't. Doesn't even come close in the sense that you guys lost in your first series. Which team, in your opinion, was a better baseball team, the 08 Phillies or the 2011 Phillies?
By far, 2011.
I agree.
Not even close. Just run it. I mean, just run the rosters. You have to be playing right at the right time. The problem that I had with this ball club was the inability to adjust.
Sure.
And the adjustment needed to be, okay, I got to stay in the strike zone when I'm, you know, my swing decisions have to be better. Throw me a strike, I'll hit it. Throw me a ball, I'll take it. And that sounds really simple, and it's really difficult to do, but if you're an elite hitter, you should have that ability. And it's whether or not these guys can really change that mindset and really get to that point, or they can relax enough, because it felt like there was tension in these games.
Yeah.
Like they weren't loose and free and easy and didn't just play their baseball, and it was pretty noticeable. And you noticed that by the swing decisions that they made. They swung at a lot of pitches that were out of the zone, and they put themselves in tough positions. They got themselves out. They weren't getting the pitchers weren't getting them out there, got themselves out a lot. And that happens a lot.
So does that mean you have to retool the clubhouse to some degree because you know the mindset wasn't right for the last, I don't know, several years now?
I think a couple of things have to happen. It's a combination of things. I think the mindset has to change a little bit, and you have to be sort of and this is...
You go into an offseason with the idea to change mindset?
Yeah, I mean, or to change players.
Look at a guy, or to do
players
both.
With the mindset concept in mind or something.
And that sort of rubs off on other guys. Like, when you see other guys having these quality at-bats, you think to yourself, wow, man, I got it. That's really productive.
Those are productive at-bats. You would think that could rub off.
Look at a guy like Kyle Schwarber. He can make... It's hard to make these adjustments. Mike Schmidt did it. Kyle Schwarber has done it. He went up 50 points in his average. Now, he didn't have as much power, but he also got more hits. He was a more productive player. I believe that guys can do that. Some guys can't, but I do believe that some of the guys can. Like, Trey Turner can be better at swinging at pitches in the zone. And I think that, you know, I think it's really a mindset that you have to have like sort of a cosmic shift in your brain and say to yourself, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make this a priority. I'm going to make more quality at-bats, outs, even more quality outs. I think that
deeper in the count, get to the bullpen earlier.
And obviously the bullpen has to be revamped. I believe in having a closer. I love for Rob Thompson to have somebody in the ninth inning that he presses the button, and that's the guy. It's a hard thing to do in this day and age. There aren't that many of them. And I think he's done a really good job of sort of putting people in the right pockets. That said, if they're not on, then you see exactly what happened in these playoffs. Yeah. And unfortunately, two or three of them went south at the same time.
They really did.
It was really unfortunate.
It was stunning. Yeah. Ruben, let me ask you one more thing, then we'll get right to the calls. So for the people that want big changes, or like at least one big piece change, let's call it that, one big piece change, I think the two players that come up the most in this conversation, because we're not talking about Rojas, we're not even talking about Marsh, and while a lot of people would like Trey out, he's not going to be out with 9 years left on his deal. The two players that I think that are most referenced are Bohm and Castellanos. Now, Castellanos finished strong, started bad. Bohm was the complete opposite. Gut feeling, Ruben. April 1st, 2025. Are they both on the team or only one of them on the team?
Only one. Only one will be on the team. I'm not sure which one will be moved, but they both have value in different ways.
And do you think that's an objective? If you're the Phillies, you're thinking, I do want to change something, and I'm not trading Bryson Stott. I believe in his future. So if I'm changing something real, those are the two guys. It's one or the other, or theoretically both, but it's those two guys, right?
I view this a little differently. I happen to think they're going to have a totally different center fielder and left fielder.
Well, I agree with that, but I also
know that you
nobody
can change all of that.
Nobody objects to that.
No, I know that.
Nobody objects to that.
Listen, and if you're going to move a guy like Bohm, like I said, if you're going to move like a guy like Bohm, I just don't know that you'll get the kind of quality that's necessary to move the guy. He is really good. Conversely, I don't think that Castellanos is going to bring you a ton, so he's probably more valuable on your team than he is being traded. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, there's a whole lot of this is the difficulty of being a GM, man. It's not an easy task. That's why they get paid the big bucks. And that is why Dave Dombrowski is one of the best in the game, because he knows how to win. He's been there. He's done it. I am sure that they're assessing what needs to be done. I am sure that he's holding a lot of stuff close to the vest. And I think he's going to do what's necessary to try to get this team to be better. Does it need to be 60% better? No. Does it need to be 15% better? Probably. And I think that he will address those things.
All right, let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Scott in Abington. Scott, good morning.
Hey, guys. Listen, I want to put this whole member of the media thing to bed. So what I want you to do, Joe, is to write the word comedian and tell me if you notice anything.
Ooh. Well, the problem is there's
strong point there.
There's a CO in there and a COM, and that might also mean communist. So
it could be co, as in he works with media.
Ooh,
you know,
yeah,
he's not very coachable.
Did you write?
No, I knew without having to write it down.
Wow,
wait, come on, man,
that is really good.
Dude, I knew that in Norway, in kindergarten. I knew that at Norway. All right, come on.
Wow.
So he's a member of the media. That's been settled. Hey, regarding Bohm, when you look at a sample size of 600 plate appearances, you tend to get a better look at what the person is as opposed to how they finished. And I think if you were to move him away from the Phillies, you're making a dramatic mistake.
I agree. Unless you get something great back. I mean, I'm in no rush to trade him. He's a good player.
No, but it has to be an instant player back that's going to last you a long time because, like Ruben said, you have this kid under control for a while. So you have someone who hits doubles out the wazoo. He puts the ball in play. So, yeah, okay, he pops up, but so does everybody else. If he can look off the balls like the 2011 players did, he's going to be a superstar.
Impetuousness
and his childishness holds him back from becoming a superstar, and it drags others down around him.
Yeah, but his childishness, you have to look past that a little bit, because he made one of the most mature moves a couple years ago when he made that mistake, came clean, and then turned into more of the player that he is now.
He did, but
he took strides in the wrong direction this year.
No, that's fair. That's accurate.
He did, but that's coachable, and he can learn. He doesn't come off as one of those people that you think is like a mental case. You know, we've had those players.
I disagree. I think he comes across as a guy who's a mental case.
Nah, it's too early.
He's going to have to go through some growth there. There's no question about it that he's going to, like, the great ones don't react like that. The great ones have a very steady, I mean, they can be pissed off, but they have a very steady, and they don't let them affect them the next at bat. And so for him to go from good, really good, to great, then he's going to have to develop that maturity.
That's interesting. Hey, Scott, give me a great answer. Something to display in your home from a movie.
Well, my wife won't like it, but I want a Terminator T-900 without the skin.
Holy cow.
That's great.
Does that count? I mean, like we said no, sure. Batmobile.
No, it's
you can have the Terminator.
Sure.
Yeah, it's just a corner.
It's just in the corner. It's not that big.
Not that big.
It's almost as big as a Batmobile, guys.
No.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. It's like half the size of a Batmobile.
It's a human.
Talk to you about your sizing.
Well, you can't fit a human in your home?
Well, of course you can. You can fit a car in your home, too. Well, it's pushing the envelope.
I think it's a great answer. All right, speaking of answers, I'm going to try to give good answer here in Life Advice with the Hammer, which is brought to us by MHS Lift. If you're looking for forklifts, a warehouse efficiency assessment, any type of material handling equipment, or if your equipment needs repairs, get yourself to MHSLift.com.
My life's a waste of time.
It's time.
I'm a tool.
For Life Advice with the Hammer.
You know how rock bottom your life gotta be to get life advice from Joe the Camera?
The Hammer.
I'm an idiot.
Well, maybe I am, but people still ask for my advice and I dole it out. James, what does someone need help with today?
Got a bit of a doozy today. Corey Johnson on Twitter asks, what's the best way to deal with self-doubt?
Holy hell. All right, what is the best way to deal with self-doubt? All right, wow. Whew. All right, so I would say a few things. That's a tough one. I would start with trying to, first of all, I would talk to someone. Doesn't have to be a psychologist, but I would lean on a friend or friends. You don't have to have a huge network, but, you know, bring two or three people into this issue and try to get feedback from those that know you well and love you, but also know you in ways that they know the good and the bad of you. And can probably help provide some context and steer you in a direction. So that's number one, perspective from those that love you. Number two, I would encourage you, boy, this is a hard one off the top of my head. I'm doing my best. I would encourage you to try to think about things you do well and try to know it. Try to believe it. Try to tap into that, into other elements of your life. You know, I mean, I can't imagine that you doubt everything about your life. So what do you feel confident in? And then try, and I know it's not easy, but try to apply that to the things in your life that you feel less confident in by tapping into that. Now, beyond that, I might be out of bullets. I don't know, man. I'm doing my best. That's a tough one.
It's a tough one. I believe in surrounding yourself with people who lift you up.
Well, it's kind of part of what I just said.
Part of what you said. Yeah. And you also made a great point about...
Did you say a great point?
Just one.
Yes, one.
It was a medium point.
Your first one. Congratulations.
Great point about thinking about the things you do really well, are you really proud of, and focusing on those.
Building off of that.
Building.
Yeah. Building and applying to other aspects.
Say the question again, Jimmy.
How do you deal with self-doubt? Or what's the best way to deal with self-doubt is the actual question.
You know, I think personally, the most progress I've ever made has come from failing as hard as possible. Like, just going out and trying and failing.
Yeah, this might hurt this person, though.
You think?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but not,
That should insulate you to some
degree.
But look at Alec Boehm. Okay.
You know, not everyone deals with it well.
You're right. But it should help you deal with it, that it's okay. If it doesn't go exactly the way you thought it would, you can still bounce back and you can still do great things and you can still go in a different direction. Make it yours. You know, just own it.
I like it.